This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. The cost of college has risen faster than inflation, but the amount of aid has also gone up. Still, numbers aside, there's an emotional part of this equation. Education isn't like any other commodity. Many families face a balancing act. You want to give your child the best option, but you don't know how to talk about what you can afford. We've asked Michelle Singletary to help start that conversation. She's a personal finance columnist for The Washington Post. Welcome back, Michelle.
Thank you. So good to be here.
So this is not an academic question for you. You've got some real-world experience. Your daughter's a freshman in college this year. You approach this a very specific way. Tell me about that.
Yeah, she's starting very soon. Not soon enough for either one of us, I might add. But, you know, we, from the time they were toddlers and could even start talking, we were talking to them about why we were saving and saving for their college education. So it has been a lifelong conversation with our children. They know that we didn't do certain things because we were putting money into their college fund. But on the same track, we were saying, listen, study hard, get great grades so that you can get scholarships, because that will then augment what we've saved and hopefully help pay for graduate school should you need to go. But here's the thing. My daughter is brilliant because she's my daughter. But guess what? There were like 300, 400, 500 other brilliant kids applying for the same scholarship she was applying for. And she didn't get many of them. And the average scholarship per year is less than $3,000.
You wanted your daughter to graduate pretty much debt-free. Is that specific to you, or do you think a lot of parents do that?
Not pretty much, definitely.
Definitely debt-free.
Definitely no debt. Not for her, not for us. And that was the main thing we talked about when we had those conversations for her. We have a zero debt policy as far as education when it comes to my family. Now, people out there listening, this woman has lost her everlasting mind. Mm-hmm. But if you have that going into it, then you do the things that it takes to make sure that happens. Now, here's what we recognize. That might mean that she's not going to go to the top school that she wants to go to if we didn't save enough.
Does that limit her choices?
It does. And you know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, life is about limits. And this is the problem that a lot of parents have. They give their kids a blank check and say, you know what? Apply to any school and we'll figure out how to pay for it later. Well, guess what? Figuring out how to pay for it later means tacking on a whole bunch of debt to you and to your child. I didn't want that for my kids. I don't want that for me.
Fair enough. All right. So that's your experience. I want to broaden this, bring your personal finance background to talking to other parents and kind of figure out how they and their kids are trying to muddle through it. And I want to bring in our first caller. Her name is Catherine. She's in Cleveland, Mississippi. Hey, Catherine, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Hi, Catherine.
Hey, I'm feeling a little ashamed after listening now.
No. This is a broad conversation. Catherine, tell us about your daughter. This is your youngest child, and what your situation is.
Well, she's my last of four, and we've had two already. One's about to graduate from Tulane, and another one has graduated from a local university. And so this one is getting ready to start the process. And truthfully, I've kind of always ascribed to the I'll figure it out later philosophy. Right. And so, you know, we do have debt, and my daughter has debt. I have debt with the Tulane education. But I have another daughter who's getting ready to go off to school, and her dreams are much broader than the Mississippi Delta where we live. And so consequently, I don't want to limit her.
Well, let's get Michelle's thoughts on that, because it clearly you have this broad horizon pictured for your younger daughter, and you've got about, is this right, $26,000 in debt from your first daughter's education?
Correct.
Okay, Michelle, what do you see here?
Well, first of all, Catherine, I don't want you to feel bad about what I said, because, you know, I'm honest about that, because everybody's life is personal, and I'm sure you did the best that you could with what you had. Now, having said that, can I do some tough love?
Just go gently.
Because I just, you know, I laid the groundwork to smack you, you know.
Uh-oh.
Listen, I hear parents say what you just said. I don't want her to have limits. But listen, you got to have limits. And I'm not going to criticize you for taking on debt for your daughter, and she took on debt, and you thought that was the right decision. But I see far too many families doing that. And then the kids can't handle the debt. The parents can't handle the debt because not only are they taking on a student loan debt, but they're not saving for their retirement because of this debt, and then just everyday life expenses. And so you need to put limits. You say, I want you to have the best in life, but I want you to have the best in life that you can afford. That is an awesome lesson to teach your child going forward. And guess what? If your child is bright, and she certainly sounds like she is, if you've got these other bright kids, she's going to make it wherever she goes. And studies show that if you've got a talented kid and they don't necessarily get in or can afford the top schools, when they go to those other schools, they do just as well. And I tell folks, look around at the places where you work. You all came from different colleges, and guess what? You all work at the same place.
Well, this is true. I think in terms, though, of some of our local universities not having the same clout when it comes down to putting it on a resume.
Well, that's a good concern. But let me tell you, what most employers are looking for is people with experience and talent. The key to her being successful in her career is getting internships and getting job experience. That's what they're going to look at on her resume. She can go to the best schools, but if she doesn't have job experience, she's still not going to get the job.
Okay, Michelle, we're going to hear from her, Catherine's daughter, Rebecca. She's going to talk to us on the other side of this break. This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We're spending the next couple of weeks talking about the American dream. This week, our focus is higher education. It can be a way to move up, get a better job, prepare for the future. But the cost is rising, even if you adjust for inflation. And more kids are borrowing to pay for school. We want to continue our conversation now with Michelle Singletary. She's a personal finance columnist for The Washington Post. Michelle and I are talking with Catherine. Her daughter, Rebecca, is 16. Catherine just told us she's not sure how to talk about what they can afford. So we want to hear what Rebecca has to say. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
So tell me what you're thinking about and where you want to go.
To be honest, I'm not entirely sure of where I would like to go to school. I've looked kind of at my options, but I really can't say for sure. I could go for academics or I could start down a career-based path, but I'm not really entirely sure of what I would like to do yet.
Michelle, what should she be looking for?
I think that's very normal. When we went for orientation for my daughter, they said most college kids change their majors 3 times before they graduate. And so she's exactly in the right place. I think in order to be sure, I'd like, Rebecca, for you to sit down with your mom and your dad and look at what you have, what you can afford, what schools in the local area have the programs that you're kind of interested in right now. And I want you to key on affordability. Just please, please pay attention to that, because I don't want you to start your life off with a lot of debt, because that limits your options. And you listen, you're a bright kid. I know you are. I could just hear it through the radio. You're going to succeed wherever you go. And I just have a plan. And right now, I feel like you guys don't have a plan. And that's the best way to avoid taking on more debt. Check out the schools, check out the programs, check out where their college graduates get jobs. Talk to local employers. If you're interested in a couple things, just visit a couple job sites and say, listen, I'm interested in this. Where do you hire people from? What do you look for in a hire? You know, I'm telling you, employers love that kind of thing. Not only that, you might get a summer internship.
But what kind of conversations, Rebecca and Catherine, have you guys had about money and about what the goal is for college? Have you sat down and talked about it?
I can't say it's ever been something that we've discussed, but I do feel now that it would be an important next step for us before I do go to school.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree that we've always assumed, we unfortunately have 4 bright children because, like she said, they're ours. And so we have heavily relied on them getting scholarships. And of course, when our oldest went through, he did have a full ride. He did do very well. He did choose a school that was perfect for him. And so, you know, even though he was looking at Georgia Tech, he was looking at MIT, he was looking at a lot of very expensive schools, he ended up going to one that he felt more comfortable with that actually we could afford. I just assumed it would all work itself out, that they would end up where they were supposed to be. And so now I'm realizing that maybe I need to nudge them where they need to be.
Oh, yeah. That's our job, to nudge, nudge, nudge. And don't, I tell parents, don't advocate that role because they're still young. And, you know, we were very much a part of the process. Now, some people might say, oh, you're hovering, let them decide. But listen, where are these young people going to get the money to pay for school? They need you to help guide them in a way that is going to be cost effective for you, for them, and your family long term.
And there is a lot out there, Rebecca. You are on the cusp of such an amazing adventure. But I do think that Singletary nudge is a good thing to have that conversation, right, Michelle? Just to sit down and map it out.
Absolutely. And, you know, listen, I'm not telling you this is an easy conversation because my child wanted to go to some schools that we couldn't afford. We have enough money saved up for all 4 years, room and board and books and expenses, but not for some of the top line schools. And we told apply anywhere. If you get enough money that we wouldn't have to take on debt, you can go wherever you want, honey. And if you can't, you're going to go where we can afford. Now, was there some eye rolling? There certainly was. And ask me if I care, because where's she going to go live? Because I know better.
All right, ladies, I really appreciate you talking with us, and I hope this helps you kind of start on the path to having a conversation at home.
I think so. I think we'll be doing that this next weekend.
Definitely so.
Got some time on your hands?
Yeah, barbecue ribs and financial aid. That's going to be our weekend.
See, there you go. That's a great weekend.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Rebecca and Catherine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next caller is Antonio. He is from St. Paul, Minnesota, and he's got kind of the other end of this, a fair amount of debt, $92,000 from the Art Institute International. You went in for photography, and you're kind of thinking about hitting the reset button in your life.
Actually, I looked up the number. It's actually 11903, $111,000
now. $111,000.
Yep. And I guess looking forward, I'm thinking my son was born. I was very young. I was 19. I've been helping raise and parent my boy for the better part of, you know, all my 20s and half my 30s now, but he's going to be 18 next year. Hmm. So looking forward, I'm kind of going, okay, the next couple of years here, I'm going to get my son out of high school, and I'm looking forward to the next 30, 40 years and going, wow, what do I want to do now? Do I go back and do more school, which I love school, master's degree. Do I start trying to further my own education without school and try to get into some field that I truly enjoy?
What are you doing now?
I'm actually managing two restaurants.
And how much do you make doing that?
I make $45,000 plus bonuses.
So $45,000. What are your monthly loan payments?
I just got I looked online, and it said your loan payments are 42 days past due, and they wanted a minimum payment of $1,700.
I have a sense that Michelle is going to want to talk about the amount of debt you have right now. Michelle?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like itching in my seat. So, Antonio, mm-hmm. just let me, how do you feel about when you found out that it was actually a little bit more, just $111,000? When I say that, what does that make you feel?
Well, it's almost too big to chomp on, you know? It's kind of like, I'm a numbers guy. I love numbers. Not business numbers, but I look at that and I go, okay, well, let's see. Divide that by da-da-da, and I go, wow. You know, it's almost trying to think of the idea that space never ends.
Right, exactly. And there's a lot of people out there like that. A lot mm-hmm. of people, maybe the number isn't that high, but where they are, it might as well be. So I that's an incredible amount of debt. And I want you to feel the weight of it. I want you to feel as if you've got that number on your back and how that feels.
I'm pretty good at pushing it aside and pretending it's not on my back.
Right, right. And I want you to stop that. I want you to embrace that and put it on your back. I want you, while we're listening right now, I want you to feel that, because it's only when you feel that will you begin to understand how that's going to impact not just your life, but your son's life. Sure. It's an incredible amount of debt. You can't get rid of that debt. You can't bankrupt that debt out of your life. It's going to be with you until the day you die. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to feel that.
Hopefully not that long.
Okay, Dr. Doom, now what can he do?
Right. So now I want you to be aggressive about getting that monkey off your back.
Okay.
Do what you have to cut your expenses and tackle that debt, because you can do it. You can if you ignore it. But if you embrace it and put it on your back, you can get rid of it. And then use that life lesson to help your son not follow that same path.
Right.
And he can get a good college education without that amount of debt. I know there was a lingering question about, do you go back to school? No, not right now, because you got to get that monkey off your back. Right. Get that monkey off your back. And then when you go back, you're going to go back with cash.
Are there things, Antonio, that you know you want? Are there dreams that you have?
Yes. I'm comfortable with the idea of I'm not going back to school right away. And this is something I was thinking about doing over the next 2-3 years minimum, because I'm still up to my eyebrows with my son finishing high school and after school stuff. So, I think that at the same time, I'm still kind of, I don't really know what direction to take with chopping away at this debt. Do I just start dumping as much money as I can to it?
Absolutely. Dump as much money to it as you can. Go back to your budget. Look at your budget. Mm-hmm. Look where there's any fat. And I'm talking cut to the bone until it hurts.
The entertainment.
Grocery store, cables, entertainment. You're not going to be sitting inside of a restaurant for a really long time. Plus, you work there, so just get your free food there. And listen, you've got some skills that you can use on the side. If you've got some good photography skills, do some weddings, do some graduations. You know, talk to your friends, families. They've got events. You're at those events with your son. Take some photos. Sell those photos. Use that. I mean, that might not be what you want to do lifelong, but right now, you've got some really valuable skills that you can earn some extra money. Now, I know working in the restaurant business is really tough and you've got long hours. I get that. But see where you can carve out some time to make some extra money, because there's two ways to get rid of debt. Cut your expenses, increase your income, or both. And I'm telling you, do both.
Antonio, does that help? Do you feel like we can send you out with a mission?
Yeah, it does. You know, I think it is nice to hear Michelle say that to me out loud in public, you know what I mean? To kind of go walk out in front of everyone and go, okay, thanks for telling me. I can go forward now.
Right. And you can do this. I can hear it in your voice. You've got that dedication. I just want you to say, while you got that monkey on your back, I could just say to myself, I can do this. I'm going to have to do some things that I'm not comfortable with. I'm going to probably have to change my lifestyle, maybe not do as much for my son in terms of the extra things, so you can take some of that money and pay off the debt. But it's definitely doable. I never want to leave people with the idea that there's so much pressure that you do nothing. But you've got the skills. You've got the talent. You've got the drive. And so put that to work to get that. And I'm telling you, when you get that monkey off your back, whoa, you call me back, because you're going to be so excited.
I will. I'll start chipping away at it.
Good. I've got one question for you before you go. What are you going to tell your son about preparing and saving for college?
Well, preparing, first off, which I didn't do, and research. You know, definitely taking a look at what's out there and what do we really want to do? Are we sure that this is the path we want to take, that he wants to take, and really do our research and find what the best path is school-wise and what's the most education and the best way forward for the lowest and most reasonable cost.
There you go.
That
I was waiting for that line.
Yeah.
What can we afford? I was like, please say it. Affordability.
Right.
And be a part of the process. Ask his opinion, get his opinion, and then be a parent. And say no if it's too much.
Yeah. And we've started those talks.
Good. Antonio, thank you so much. We wish you all the best. Let us know how it's working out, okay?
I will. Thank you both very much.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome.
All right, Michelle, before we go, I have a question that I want to put to you. I was raised with this idea of good debt and bad debt, that taking on debt for education was an okay thing because the rates were lower and you were investing in your future, and that credit card debt or maybe car debt or something else was not as good. The rates were higher and you were talking about consumption items. Does that still apply? Was my mother insane?
Your mother wasn't insane. She was listening to advice from people who were selling debt. And I tell you that I want you to look at this the same way we now look at housing. That's the exact same thing people said about housing. How'd that work out for us? No, it is not good. And from my perspective, now this is my opinion, and I know I'm out there a little bit by myself. There is no such thing as good debt and bad debt. There is only debt.
Why isn't college debt a little better if you are investing in your future? When you look at employment statistics, people with a college education definitely have a lower unemployment rate than people who don't. And I can probably get a better job if I go to college. Why isn't it better debt?
Because what we're finding is that particularly now that people are taking on too much of their debt, and the jobs that they're getting and the income that they're getting in this economy is not enough to service a lot of that debt. Because we've given people a blank check and said, go, this is good debt, they've taken on too much. And what we're finding is a lot of those kids coming out of college, they can't get the kind of jobs that they think they were going to get for the amount of debt that they've taken on. And so it's not the same thing anymore. It's harder for them to find jobs. The debt is too heavy, not just with them, but their parents as well. And so I need to get that message out that that should not be seen is sort of, it's a little, oh, work itself out. We heard Kevin talk about, oh, it's going to work itself on the end. But guess what? For a lot of people, it's not working out.
Michelle Singletary is a personal finance columnist for The Washington Post. Michelle, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We also wish your daughter all the best in her college career.
Oh, she's going to do well. She got some money. She's good at my house. I'm so happy.
It is slightly possible that my own mother was also happy to see me go. Saying goodbye to a college-bound child is a rite of passage. Good luck to all those parents doing that right now. And if you're a student, try to, text or email or call your parents at least once in a while.